So we're talking about strategies that we can use to create better habits. Beautiful. So strategy number two, this one, I'm going to send you guys a TED talk about. It's my favorite strategy because it's so simple and it's so intuitive and yet it changes the world. It's amazing. And that is called the after-then strategy. Okay? I got this from a TED talk by BJ Fogg. You guys happen to have seen that TED talk. I'll send it to you. He's a researcher. And it's such a simple idea, but it's so obvious. And that is that a lot of times we want to create the trigger that's going to make us do the habit, right? So you can experiment. You can set your alarm. You can write, those post-it notes. But it's what we're trying to do is create as simple as a system as possible. The simpler, the better. The more we make life complicated with post-it notes, will it really last in the long term? It's hard, right? So what we want to do then is take an action that we already do in our lives, okay? That's already part of our lives, and then build the new habit that we're trying to build into right after I do that action. After I do this, then I will do the new action. So here's a classic one. I want to start saying Asher Yatzar. Right, I believe in the value of being thankful to Hashem for our body. It makes me happier. But what's the problem? I don't know. It's a habit that I haven't developed. I didn't grow up so religious, whatever. I want to start saying brachas. I don't know. But the beauty of the Asher Yatzar is you do it right after you go to the bathroom. After I go to the bathroom, then I say Asher Yatzar. Chazal have already built into the system a way of, making your brain, the neurological pathways are going to just go from bathroom to Asher Yatzar right away. If you make your commitment to start saying Asher Yatzar, it will become a habit so quickly because the system's already built into place. Yeah?
I'm just trying to see the difference with Asher Yatzar is that usually they say our brachas before the action, and with that one, it's after.
Okay. So there's halachic reasonings because you have to go to the bathroom, Zach, and you...
So you can find something to do after the bathroom that you can, that you'll remind you that before you do this.
Nachon. Right, nachon. If that helps you to do the trigger. I'm just pointing out that built into halacha a lot of times is this system of after then. And that will remind me to do this. Very good. Another after then of halacha is wake up, say moda ani. Another after then is, ideally, halachically, you're supposed to daven shacharis, put on tefillin daven shacharis, before you do anything else. You're not supposed to start checking your stocks and doing the laundry. You're supposed to right away daven. And again, I think Chazal, whether they knew it consciously or subconsciously, are beautifully teaching our brains to do things, to have systems, and then so quickly to naturally these habits get developed. Again, there's a downside of habits in halacha, and that's because things become rote. You start davening Shemoneh Esrei every day, and you know it by heart, and then it's a habit, but it's also a habit to wonder every time you get up to the first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei. So we have to find a way to break the habits also that it becomes so built into our consciousness. Okay, but right now we're talking about how do we build habits, so we want to do it instead of saying, let's say Daniel decides every day he wants to... say thank you to his girlfriend. Which is great.
I think the exercise thing is good.
You want to exercise. Okay, you want to exercise. So you can say one way of doing it, and this is fine, is every day I'm going to force myself to exercise. Fine. A better way I'm saying is after I, what's something you do every day? Something. You water the plants. Daniel always waters. After he waters the plants, he'll exercise.
Oh.
Right? Or after I eat breakfast, because most people eat breakfast, or some sort, I will exercise. You get it? Build the system. You don't have to fight. You don't have to remember. You always, every day, do breakfast, and then connect the dots, and then soon, in a week or two or three, your brain will make the connection. You got it? Okay. So it's the after-then strategy. Okay, so I'm going to ask in the exercise for you to use that strategy, because I think it's really effective. Good. Strategy number three. Actually, I read this in this book. Like a lot of this material comes from this book. Sean Anker, big positive psychologist, also from Harvard, just like Tal Shachar and William James. And also BJ Fogg talks about this. It's called the Zorro Circle. So you have a little picture of Zorro. You guys familiar with Zorro?
Yeah.
A little bit? Okay, good. So the pshat of Zorro, for those who aren't yet, you know, haven't watched enough movies, is that what's his name? Yeah. Is this superhero guy who's an amazing fighter, but in order to learn how to become the best swordsman in the world, he had to be trained. And how was he trained? A circle was circled around him, and he was not allowed to leave that circle until he mastered that one specific action. Right? If you want another movie which demonstrates this, Karate Kid, right? With wax on, wax off, one baby step at a time. Okay? The idea is not to change big actions, but to change small actions. Okay? In our minds, sometimes big changes happen in one moment. That's actually the nature of radical change, is it happens in our minds right away sometimes. But in our actions, it's sometimes we're shooting ourselves in the foot if we try to make too many big changes at once. Because what ends up happening is that first day or that first week, we're all excited, we're running a marathon, and we start running, you know, 10 miles every day. But then a rainy day comes and we don't run. And then the next day we don't feel motivated to go again because we already broke the streak, so why bother? And it's in our head, it's like, oh, it's such an uphill battle to run 10 miles, like, and the habit has not yet been formed, and then it dies.
Yeah.
Okay? So what instead we should be focusing on is build the habit very strong in our heads and make it as easy as possible to do that habit until it's really strong, and then build a system to be consistently gradually growing stronger and stronger and stronger once we've already built that easy habit. Okay? So for example, let's say you want to get buff. Okay? So instead of saying every day I'm going to do 50 push-ups, say this week I'm going to do 2 push-ups every time after I go to the bathroom. Or every day after lunch, whatever, or after mincha, I'm going to do 2 push-ups. And commit yourself to do 2 push-ups. Now, if you want, you can do 5 push-ups if you're motivated, no problem. But the goal is 2 push-ups until you've built that connection, and then up it. 5 push-ups, 10 push-ups, 15 push-ups. But first, make it easy. Because if we try to make things hard, it's very often going to backfire. Pick a very small thing that you're going to change about yourself, and don't try to do too much at once. Don't focus on 10 things. Focus on in very specific realms, and again, reward yourself. Reward yourself for achieving the goal. Okay? Sometimes the reward is just in your mind. Awesome, I'm excited, I'm the best, yeah. Or a little sticker. Sometimes it's at the end of the week, I get a smoothie. But build into the system a reward so that you can really motivate yourself to master this little habit. Yeah.
I see where what John was saying earlier, like the thing of a habit being good and bad, and how it can be distracting. Like sometimes there's something new that comes in that I really want to get done, and then I'll drop everything else until that is done. So like I kind of built up a whole bunch of habits, and then now I wanted to get the money into my account, and I want to get the cars licensed. So until those are done, like I'll do the others if it's not inconvenience those tasks, but I can drop everything until those specific things are trying. Is that like a bad thing? That's how I'm seeing how.
It's not a bad thing. The first thing is to be aware of yourself.
Yeah.
And the second thing is to ask yourself. No one here is forcing anything upon you. It's what do I want? What's best for me? What works best for me? You know. And every person is different. You know. There's no. Just be honest with yourself. Or else nothing will work. Okay. A few more points, because at least I'd like to finish part one, which is habits. Kanir Esh, that commitment and accountability we're going to talk about next week, because I also want to make at least a little bit of time to bring this into action, to manifest this. But let's talk about two more strategies. Strategy number four, and this is also extremely, extremely important, is change your environment. Okay? It's so important to create the right environment in order to facilitate change. As Chazal say, Oy la Rasha, Oy la Shecheino. Right? If you're amongst wicked people, then your neighbor's in trouble too. Right? And if you're with Tzaddikim, then the Tzaddikim are you're going to be raising yourself up. It's a beautiful thing about being in yeshiva, being in a holy environment. It just raises you up. Being in that environment, just being there psychologically, has an incredible effect upon you. And this itself is a whole shiur. I wish we had time. But trust me, I'm sure you guys already know this. Our environment is crucial to making change. And sometimes we can't really change our environment completely. I don't know. So you're married to someone and, I don't know, she likes to, whatever. She likes to spill and talk, I don't know. I'll just talk about myself. I forget to put the dishes back. So, like, there's not that much you can do. You're married to them. But there are other situations, where you really can just make a small change. And that small little change has a huge effect. Okay? So, for example, we're talking with Aaron before about cell phones. So many people in our generation are addicted to cell phones, and they want to stop being so addicted and stop, you know, interrupting their work and learning for phones, but they don't know what to do because it has the reward built in, the dopamine, where every time you get the WhatsApp and it's in. So what do you got to do? You got to take the phone and put it out, change your environment, put the phone in a different room so it doesn't distract you anymore. Right. Or take the Wi-Fi thing off, put it, right? Even though it's annoying. But that small little change, take your email down, whatever, will give you the space to really give your brain the ability to succeed.
Yeah. There's a book that has this idea. I forget the book, but it says you're an average of the five closest people in your life.
Exactly.
So uh-huh. You want to change your outcome. You want to be with successful people. Bring more successful people in. If you feel you're being brought down, look at your friends. Like, are these people that are going to have a positive or negative impact?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Exactly. Be aware of who is in your life. Can't always control it completely. You're with your mom and dad and for the vacation, but most of the time you can have an effect. I'm not obsessed with food, but I just happened to see a study like this that, you know, people who have overweight friends are generally much more percentage-wise going to eat in an unhealthy way, and the opposite. Not overweight, but eating unhealthy. And the opposite is also true. That if you're around people who are exercising all the time, it's just going to naturally draw you in. If you're around people that are learning Gemara all the time, you're going to naturally want to learn more Gemara. It's just, even just seeing it.
Well, you know, your friends or unhealthy friends, they're going to invite you for a Shabbos meal, and what you're eating with them.
Right, exactly. You go to a Kiddush and everyone's eating cake, so it's like.
If you're very healthy friends, you're going to be eating natural.
Exactly. So the thing is, what am I going to tell everyone? Should everyone just like drop all their friends? It's not so simple. Just pick new friends and everything will be great. But a lot of times it's just simple little changes which we can do which make the biggest difference. So I'll give a few more examples. Let's say, again, you want to stop binge eating on nuts. You eat too many nuts. Or stop. If you want to stop eating too much sugar snacks and you recognize I eat my sugar snacks on when I'm in a bad mood or I don't mean to, but that's what happens. So get the sugar out of your house. If it's in your house, then you're going to fall into the trap. That's why the stores put all the unhealthy things right in front of your eyes, because they want to trap you into your environment they know will affect the decisions you make. Or another simple thing. Let's say you want to start playing guitar. Take the guitar and put it next to your bed. If you have the goal to play guitar every day, put it right there. You want to start running every day. Take this. This is what Sean Anker did. Used to sleep in his gym shorts, right? That and in his shoes. That way he had no excuse because he's in his sneakers. So, you know, the hardest part, don't think when you're in a good mood. Think when you're in your bad mood, what really stops you. And then try to eliminate the things which are holding you back from being the best you when you're in that bad mood.
I'm just thinking, like, if you take it, two people are dating, a skinny guy and a heavy woman, it didn't, similarly, you don't know if the guy's going to get heavier or if the girl's going to get skinnier. Like, you don't know who's going to influence who, in a sense. They both might, he might get put out.
That's a fascinating, that would be a fascinating study to see who affects who. For sure. I think, they both might have an effect also on each other. It's interesting.
Oh, yeah. There was a righteous guy and a righteous girl, and they split up, and they both married wicked people. And the wicked guy became righteous because of the girl.
So Daniel thinks the woman's more powerful. Whoever the woman is, that's the one that's going to make the difference. Okay. Could be. Could be.
It's going to be easy.
Yes, influences the person because she puts her...
That could also happen. Very good. Okay. One point that I actually forgot to mention, but is really, really crucial about the focus on the small habits, is that the great thing about developing a small habit that you master is that you develop a sense of inner control. You are the master. Your Yetzer Hara does not control you. You have succeeded in something. And it doesn't really matter what that thing is, but once you have learned that I am the master of my destiny, that creates a domino effect. Because your brain starts realizing that nothing can push external things are not the master of your life. I am the master of my life. And even though all it is push-ups, but what I'm really teaching my brain is that I control my destiny, and that can have an amazing domino effect on all sorts of challenges in our life. Yeah, that's right. And there's a million studies showing that people who have an internal focus and believe that not things push them around, but I control my destiny, are the successful people in life, are the happy people in life. And people who feel like everything around me controls me, and then they're the ones that struggle, because life is hard, and it doesn't, and you need to have that internal sense of I'm in control of my destiny. Okay, one more strategy. This one's a little bit sticky, but I think it could work. Is don't break the streak. Okay, there's an interesting study by Daniel Kahneman, who's an Israeli Nobel Prize winner, and what he finds something very fascinating is that imagine you made $10. How does it feel? Pretty good. You found $10 on the floor. Now imagine you had $10 and you lost it.
Oi. Loss.
What feels more bad or more good? The loss. Yeah. For some reason, it hurts us much more. Hashem created our brain in such a way that it hurts us much more when we lose things than when we gain things. That's the way we're programmed. That's the way Hashem makes most people. Okay? So what? So we use this to our advantage. So make a chart and make it our goal to not break the streak, because we don't want to let ourselves down. We don't want to let our friends down. If we're just building 1, 2, 3, 4, then that's one level. But if we tell ourselves, no, you're not, if I lose, for you can even make it a bet. If I don't do my achievements, I'm going to lose $10. I'm going to lose the 350 shekel I invested, whatever. It's something we really don't want to lose, and it will really motivate us to achieve our goal. So investing beforehand, things like money or whatever, or time, really can be a great method. And doing it in a very visual way, there's all sorts of apps for stuff like this, but just get a simple calendar and mark it like X, 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 to mark it in a very visible way. And then if you see yourself that you were check, and then you did an X, you're going to feel bad. So it's going to motivate you to not break the streak.
The whole 30 diet that I did, 30-day diet, and if you decide to break it, that's fine, but you're starting again. So,
right, it gives you that motivation. Beautiful. Okay, give up.
Or you're unsuccessful. If you have to start again.
Right. Okay, two more Torah sources. So this idea of streaks, something that we've all heard of it in different, like segulot and things like that, 40 days at the Kotel. The source that I found it was the Rebbe Rav Elimelech Livlijinsk. Gave you guys a little picture in the picture book. And he's actually the Noam Elimelech, a great Hasidic master, kind of descended a little bit. And he has this idea that if a person was born with a stubborn nature, he should break his nature for 40 consecutive days, doing the opposite of what comes naturally. You know, you want to become a master of something, break your habit for 40 days in a row.
It's the Rambam's idea.
Does Rambam talk about it? Show me the source.
To do the opposite to get
happy. Oh, to go the opposite of your nature. Yes, the Rambam talks about that. But in terms of this idea of 40 days and doing it consistently, so I found this in Rav Elimelech's, I think it's in his Tzetzel Katan, his little letter that he writes to people. Maybe that's where this idea of going to the Kotel 40 days. As I mentioned, there's different studies showing how long it takes till our brain creates the neurological pathways that a habit becomes relatively easy. But on average, it's about 66 days. This course is 10 weeks. It's a good start. It's a good start, at least. And I think hopefully we'll be able to start some sort of habits. Finally, before we make the plan, as always, we can't do anything without a Kadosh Baruch Hu. All this is very nice and habits and brains, but in my opinion, without asking Hashem for help, we don't have a shot. All right? And even, you know, Alcoholics and Anonymous, you need a higher power in order to really achieve your goals. So without getting Hashem involved in the picture, it's very hard to succeed. I don't think you can succeed. And that's what we say every day in our davening. This could be your trigger, your reminder. You want Yiritzon Lefanecha and the Birchas Hashachar Shetargilenu B'Torah Techa, that we should have habits of Torah, that it shouldn't just be a random action, but this should become a part of our brain. It should become our habits, and we should transform our brain, that it just becomes natural to become the happier, better people that we are. Okay, so if there are any questions, feel free to ask. You could also ask me personally. And what I'm going to ask everyone to do for the next 5 minutes is to just take a pen and brainstorm to yourself of habit that you would like to make a part of your life. And if it helps, you can also just like write through your day. That helped me come to a different habit. Wake up, go to chakras, go to work, whatever. And if you make a big list, you might find the one habit that you really would like to make a part of your life, or maybe one habit that you really want to get rid of. And that's what I'm going to ask everyone to do. I'll do it also. And what I'm going to ask also is that if you do sign up for the Simcha Seminar, this is our last class that it's like in or out, either in or out, Bezrat Hashem, and I really, really hope you all do stay because I think it's going to be great. That we will have someone hold you accountable. I'm happy to be that person, hold you accountable. Just send an easy, quick WhatsApp every day about it. Are you doing your whatever you committed yourself to? Or if you prefer, we'll find you a different commitment coach and we'll find a way of keeping you accountable. But I'll check in with you guys tomorrow. Bezrat Hashem. Have you thought of a commitment, a habit that you want to start developing? Again, it doesn't have to be the hardest thing in the world. It can just be something that's very achievable, very specific. And I'll work with you with making it very specific. And I recommend the after-then model. After I, then I. And as a bonus, if you could do a keystone habit, something that's going to change your whole day, gewalt. Bezrat Hashem. This habit we'll do for the next week. If you're enjoying it, we'll do it for the whole course. But you don't have to stick with this forever. If you decide, I need to do something else, fine. But at least for the next week, you'll commit yourself to do this habit. Sound good? Awesome. Okay.